Part 2. Pengo and Project Equalizer. In the late fall of 1986, two young men took the subway across the border and got off at Friedrichstrasse in East Berlin. When they arrived at passport control, Peter Karl, a dark and slightly gnomish man in his early 30s, took over. With a businesslike flick of his wrist, he slapped his passport down in front of the guard and said he had an appointment. His companion, a tall and slender teenager with a pale complexion who called himself Pengo, sat to one side and waited to be cleared. As Pengo understood it, Karl had made the initial contact a few weeks earlier by slipping a note containing secret code inside his passport. From then on, he could enter East Berlin any time he pleased, without exchanging the requisite 25 marks. A West Berliner usually had to apply a day in advance to travel the few miles across the border. The guard waved the two men through. The corner where they emerged from the U-Bahn, Berlin's subway network, was bustling by East German standards. But the elegance of the cafes that once defined this part of Berlin had long since been replaced by tall public buildings, their dull finish suggestive of a more proletarian aesthetic. Karl and Pengo made their way to Alexanderplatz to kill some time. If not exactly friends, the two were caught up in a mutual adventure that bound them. They sat down on a bench. Peter Karl produced a joint from his pocket, lit it, and offered it to Pengo. Eager as Pengo might otherwise be to do something so daring, smoke a joint in the middle of Alexanderplatz, East Berlin, in broad daylight. He declined. He was nervous. Shortly before noon, they walked the 10 minutes to Leipzigerstrasse, a wide boulevard that began at Checkpoint Charlie and flowed eastward. The building they were headed toward, number 60 Leipzigerstrasse, didn't differ in appearance from the dozens of other post-war apartment buildings that lined the wide boulevard. While West Berlin had embraced a haphazard, extroverted approach to reconstruction, a Soviet-inspired blueprint informed East Berlin. The dreary designs of the 14-story buildings along Leipzigerstrasse were first cousins to the high-rise apartments ringing Moscow's outskirts. But its proximity to the west always gave East Berlin a bit of an edge over its East Bloc brethren. Technology had been creeping into East Berlin, and the change was especially evident on Leipzigerstrasse. There was a particularly capitalist innovation, an automated teller machine, just outside number 60. From the names listed next to the buzzers in the entranceway, the building appeared to be chiefly residential. They took an elevator the size of a refrigerator, which jerked its way up to the fifth floor. They were greeted at the door by a bearded, slightly stocky, well-tailored man in his 40s. He and Karl shook hands like old friends. Then Karl gestured to his associate.
"Hier ist mein Hacke, Pengo,"
he announced with a note of triumph in his voice. Sergei turned to Pengo. His real name was Hans Hübner, but he had been better known as Pengo for years, and extended his hand. The meeting was relaxed enough at the start. A secretary served coffee. Sergei, cordial and businesslike, inquired about Pengo in accomplished German, somewhat overwhelmed by a Russian accent. What was the young West Berliner's background? What were his views, his politics? Pengo responded proudly that he was a product of West Berlin's leftist scene, the 60s movement, and that he was sympathetic with what Mikhail Gorbachev was trying to achieve in the Soviet Union. Sergei seemed unfazed, perhaps even slightly amused. Then he got down to business.
"Do you have something for me?" he asked, turning to Peter Karl.
Karl produced a magnetic tape and diskettes from his briefcase, handed them to Sergei, and the discussion turned serious. On the discs, Pengo explained, was a security program for Digital Equipment Corporation computers, the computers of choice in the Soviet Union, and on the tape, Sergei would find some other interesting software. Barely acknowledging what he had just heard, Sergei told Pengo exactly what he was interested in. Referring to what appeared to be an order list, Sergei said he was anxious to obtain state-of-the-art engineering software,
expensive and sophisticated programs that fell high on the embargo lists intended to stop American and Western European high technology products from landing in Eastern Europe. He asked, for example, if it would be possible for Pengo to obtain computer-aided design software for designing chips. Pengo deliberated for a few moments, then decided he should tell Sergey what a hacker really did. He explained that he was capable of traveling the world through a computer. He could hop from West Berlin to Pasadena in a few seconds, dipping in and out of foreign computer systems in the blink of an eye. But at the moment, Pengo complained, his means of transmitting information were limited. He had a modem, but it sent and received information at a paltry 120 characters per second. The electronic theft of the kind of software that Sergey wanted might take days at the rate Pengo would be able to gather it, making such an exercise far too risky. Pengo began to make his pitch.
Of course, I could do it, if I had the right equipment. Perhaps a high-speed modem, one that would allow him to maneuver more swiftly, and a more powerful computer with plenty of disk space. It was, after all, his dream to hack on powerful computer systems, but he didn't mention that to Sergey.
Pengo hesitated. Sergey was silent. The teenager continued. How would the Russians like to set him up to do safe hacking from phone lines that couldn't be tapped? Perhaps even to do his hacking from East Berlin. It would be to everyone's benefit. Pengo sensed no sympathy, nor could he see even a flicker of comprehension on Sergey's part. His only response was to suggest that Pengo try to fulfill his requests, after which they could talk again. If Pengo needed to talk in the interim, Sergey said, he should feel free to come back. With that, the Russian invited his two visitors to take a meal with him. If not an unqualified success for the two West Germans, the visit was in its own way instructive. Pengo had established contact with a KGB agent and had learned what it might take to engage in espionage for the Soviets.